When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Let's begin this morning on Thought Leader Thursday. Chuck Garcia is here. He's the Executive Vice President and Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Chuck, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I saw an article that I want to hit you with first off this morning, and hit's probably a hard word. I shouldn't say that, but I thought the numbers were pretty stellar because I know we've had conversations about millennials and whether or not they're actually using banks. And Bank of America this week talked about their millennial customers, 16 million millennial customers with about $200 billion worth of deposits, investments, and loans with the bank. That seems like pretty good evidence that millennials are still using regular banks.
No doubt about it. You know, just not using them in the traditional ways that we grew up using them, but absolutely.
So what does this give you any sense of, you know, the technology obviously has transformed. Maybe you could elaborate a little bit more on that. I mean, looking at the bigger banks, this is something that Associated has been going through too, right?
Well, we're all going through it. Yeah, absolutely. Whether you're a community bank, whether you're a mid-sized bank like ourselves, or obviously the very large, I think the biggest thing it's reshaped is the branch, the utilization of the branch. And I mean, large banks ourselves, we still have branches, people use them, but it is such a sparing type of usage versus taking a photocopy or a picture of your check, deposit, it goes in, you never enter a bank. And so I think the biggest, visible is the transformation of what a branch is, what it's used for, and then obviously the numbers of branches are continuing to shrink, and I think that will just be the future we'll have.
Yeah, and the adapting to the technology, too, is something the banks have had to do, with the PayPals and the Venmos and the Squares. Talk to us a little bit about that transition or that adjusting. Like, for instance, what's been going on at Associated to deal with those?
Well, it really has first started with the consumer, but it's morphing its way into my business and the corporate side, too, of utilization of mobile, tablet, the security that's now available and the ability to secure a device versus what it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Is very strong. Nothing's immune to be hacked, obviously, but it's the security is so much stronger. So the usage and the desire of banks to push that out to first consumers, the demand was there. Banks met that demand, but also now it's moving into the corporate space as well. And we're seeing a really interesting, fun movement of that side.
You mentioned the commercial side there, the apps and the handheld devices, that sort of thing. Give us a sense of what that's like.
Well, today, I'd say the most common usage is if I'm a CFO of a firm and I'm out doing business outside the shop today or in the past, I would have to be somewhat tethered to my desk, maybe have a big string of key fobs that I would utilize. And fobs are still in use, but today I could actually get the notification on my cell phone or tablet. Get an authentication over my phone or tablet, authenticate and approve that wire or divert a transaction, say, no, we didn't do that. So the information flow is immediate. It can be mobile. You don't have to be tethered to your desk as you used to in the past.
Uh-huh. And this is a bigger question, too, and maybe we can dive into this a little bit. The treasury management system's changing on the corporate side. So while the banking folks are getting to enjoy some of this as well, companies are doing this as well. Talk to us a little bit about that.
As most things in the corporate space, it usually starts with the very large companies, the IBMs, the Microsofts, et cetera, that begin to utilize very sophisticated modeling, very sophisticated tools. So there are absolutely some really high-end sophisticated systems out there that have been in place for quite a while. And what that has done, too, it's reshaped the treasury function. It has shrunk those groups down substantially. So the number of people in large treasury groups where maybe they would have 20, 25 people, they're shrunk down 4, 5, 6 people now. And so the technology is very, very significant. And it's like everything else. It starts large and then begins to trickle itself into the middle market and into smaller companies. You know, QuickBooks is a great example. It's effectively a treasury management solution for a very small company. But they're very sophisticated on the high end, but that's also moving into the middle market as well.
Do you, does Associated, for instance, I would go out and buy the QuickBooks for personal software.
Correct.
Do you, is that the way it works in the bank too, that you have software vendors that provide this, or do you, is this something you develop inside the bank?
We really have stayed away from developing solutions for our clients. Really, we're the feeder of information. So we feed information, we feed balance information, we give sophisticated transaction information. So we really put the information in the hands of our client. They then utilize whatever means, whether it's a spreadsheet or a sophisticated type of system, via the information we send, they make their decisions, and then they use our system typically to initiate whatever transactions they might have, be it an ACH, a wire transfer, what have you.
You mentioned the number of people working on these things has been cut. Talk to us a little bit more about some of the other savings that comes along with this, the economics of it.
Well, it's allowed banks too. A number of things. The move of banking into a cross-country type of environment really allowed especially large companies and retailers in particular to really shrink the number of accounts and relationships they had. So that goes back really 10 years past where they really shrunk the number of relationships. Okay, you shrink the number of relationships, you don't have to reconcile, you don't have all the paperwork to go with it. And then in the midst of that, the technology has moved such that where somebody was doing sitting with a spreadsheet or maybe have the piece of paper in front of them, now that's all done by technology. So the technology has shrunk the need for people to actually do what were previously manual type of efforts.
Is the tech part of the technology artificial intelligence? Is that what's at play?
It's growing. That's growing substantially. Absolutely.
Does it? What are the mistakes like? And the security part of this? Is this just as solid as having people do it?
Well, it. Any AI takes a little bit to learn, obviously. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be mistakes. And so during that period of time, people have to help the learning. But it's significant in terms of what it can do. And I think the future is really wide open there. I think that will continue to shrink those functions. And frankly, it'll have an impact on banks, too. So some of the things we do for clients today, perhaps they do it for themselves in the future.
How do we stack up against other countries? Has Europe been way far in front of us on this?
This particular area, not as much. You know, they were so far ahead in the usage of card, getting rid of checks, getting rid of cash. This particular area, I don't think they're quite as in front of us on this one.
Yeah. You mentioned security earlier. I want to talk a little bit about this. This past week, we saw the Equifax settlement.
Right.
I wanted to get, first of all, your reaction to the settlement and seeing that come to the end of that investigation. Do you think that was a fair settlement?
You know, I was actually surprised it wasn't larger, to be honest with you. When you look at the number of people that were impacted and really the longevity of what that impact can be, I thought it might be larger. I mean, it's still a big number. But I, you know, when I saw it, I didn't really dig deep into what was behind it, but I thought the number seemed a little smaller than I thought it might be.
Yeah, and I was surprised too that the amount of security coverage was only for 10 years, I believe. If you're one of the people that had your information taken, you really need to be on alert for how much longer into the future?
I think anything 5-7 years. The problem here is criminals are really patient.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a wide array of things to go dabble in, so they're very patient. And they'll wait till the guard goes down on something, and they'll try it. If the guard is up, they'll just move on to the next thing. But people have to be diligent all the way around. That information is really literally out there for almost forever.
Right, and your Social Security number, that's a lifetime.
That's a forever,
right?
Yes.
That's something that will never change, and I'm glad that I don't think I was hacked on that, but it seems like a lifetime of monitoring.
To me, it is. Well, you know, the other side, and we've talked about this on the show before, everything we do around the internet and passwords and anything around our money, we have to be diligent on all fronts.
There was a cybersecurity report issued recently about some of the trends to watch for going into 2020. And I was happy to see one of them is that cybersecurity budgets are going to be increasing. Do you find that that's the case in banking?
There is no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I'd say in banking, and then I see it very, very much on our customer side, too. The recognition that this is a shared responsibility, it isn't just the banks any longer, but the clients have to secure their environments. And so I think on both fronts, absolutely in the banking sector, but I think on our client side, too, people recognize that, you know, you can ruin a company really quickly. And the CEOs, I think, have recognized appropriately, that's my company, my job, and they're giving it the right attention.
There had been some criticism that the way the game was being played was not necessarily defensive, not necessarily offensive. It was more defensive. Are companies and banks, is it more offensive now?
Trying to, yes. I always hesitate with that of saying we're in front of it, because there's two schemes out there that we don't even know exist. But yes, we are trying to be way in front of it. And I think the sharing of information is much better today, too, amongst banks, amongst companies, of the latest, whatever the latest scheme is. I think we're pretty good, as well as working with the authorities, of sharing that information. I don't think we did so well in the past.
This report said that budgets for the first half of 2019 for cybersecurity increased 59%, and that trend was going to continue for the rest of the year into 2020. One of the other things, too, was that the amount of people being hired, they describe them as security talent. That these are the jobs that are in high demand in banking and elsewhere.
Very true. Very true. So it's one thing to put the systems in place if you don't have people that are able to diagnose those. So in our case, we have we'll have systems. Your transaction kicks out as abnormal. Okay, somebody actually has to look at that, because it may be normal. It just looked like an anomalous transaction. It kicked out. So you have to have people that are actually knowledgeable to look at these, so we don't impact the customer in a negative way. It's a tough balancing act, but absolutely, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Do banks hire hackers to come in and play on the good side?
They do. Yeah. They do. I know of a number of organizations that absolutely do that.
That's interesting. And before we leave you this morning, Chuck, I wanted to talk to you about interest rates. I'm still one of the people trying to get my head around why we need to cut interest rates again, with the economy generally doing pretty well. We've seen some data points improve. What are your thoughts on this? What do you think we'll see from the Fed?
I'm in the same camp as you, I'll start with, and I'll stay out of the political realm, because I think part of it is driven politically in this particular time. Really, the data that you look at out there would not indicate that we should be cutting rates. I think the only thing that has any merit is some of the downturn in other parts of the world. But the United States is humming. I mean, you know, I can't think of an area that really is doing poorly. Housing starts were down a little bit, but that's a short-term phenomenon. I'm surprised at it as well.
Yeah, the trade situation with China, is the other unresolved issue, and that seems like it's going to be going on for a long time into the future.
Probably.
Do you think we'll see a half a point or a quarter point?
I'm in the quarter point, and I hope, frankly, that stays for the rest of the year. I think everybody's kind of building in a Q4 type of additional 25 basis points. I just don't see the data supporting that.
What are you hearing from CEOs and companies, business, some of your clients? I'm guessing it's maybe split evenly about being supportive and not.
Well, it is. If you're a borrower, it's like, wow, this is great. My rate just went down. If you're an investor, it's like, what do you mean you're cutting my rate?
Right.
So it's a tough time for banking. The margins are going to get squeezed really hard for the coming months.
Yeah, and I know you're probably redoing your budgets as well at the bank.
Just had a discussion before this.
Well, Chuck, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
If they want to call, it's 312-544-4346, or email is charles.garcia@associatedbank.com.
Always good chatting with you.
You as well. Thank you.
Chuck Garcia, Executive Vice President, Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. We do it every Thursday here on The Opening Bell.